Morning, church. Man, it's good to see y'all. I know we are having a unusually cool snap for our weather this time of year. I don't know if that's God's way of dealing with all the people who are camping this weekend. I don't know. I can't say that's a judgment. I can't say that for certainty. But I know we do have a lot of people who are out of town, and we wish them, of course, a good vacation this weekend, time off with family, and enjoy nature and relax, whatever they may be. But it is good to be together with you indoors this morning. It has been a big weekend for our family, and with our eldest graduating, and many of you have been through this before, but for us it was just a great experience, and wanted to thank you all. Not only for the graduation banquet that Forest Mill did for our graduating seniors, but for your show of support for the graduation parade. I don't know, we were talking about this, I don't know if we'll ever get to do that again, because that was such a rare deal. But if you ever get the chance to drive your kid through town while the town cheers them on, I recommend it. It was great, and I know not everybody likes that. Some people like sitting in the sun in the football stadium on those bleachers for 4 hours, but that's just not my cup of tea. I liked driving and listening to music for 4 hours in the pouring rain, so that was much better. That was much better. No, it was really a great night, and we've had just a big weekend with that. But here on Sunday mornings, we have been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and so far, we talked about two of the big questions in life that Jesus has been dealing with. The first question that he talked about in the Beatitudes really was, who is really well off? Who has the blessed life, right? And so Jesus offers his explanation in his, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Who is blessed? And it's one whose life is based on the acceptance of and interaction with God. These are the people who are living already in God's kingdom because they are interacting with and living their life based on this relationship with God. Second big question he dealt with in the second half of Matthew chapter 5 is, who is genuinely a good person? Remember, and we talked about how that can come off looking like another set of laws. But that was not the intention in the sermon. Rather, Jesus was just talking about his desire for us to be a people who are committed to promoting the good of everyone we deal with. Everyone we deal with, including, of course, God and ourselves. That we are promoting good in every interaction with everyone we meet. And in living like that, we go beyond the righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees who did everything right, but weren't looking for the good in anyone. It's more than just not doing anything wrong, which we can be really tempted to boil our faith down to, just don't do the bad stuff. Jesus promoted us actually doing good by everyone we meet. And that brings us to the kind of the middle part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew chapter 6. And he talks about a couple of the main barriers that you and I face if we want to have an interactive life with God, if you want to live in relationship with God, what do you have to go through? What do you have to deal with? What is the barriers to us having a healthy spiritual life, a healthy life in the kingdom? And this week, we're going to look at one of the primary roadblocks. And this is a big one. It's one that likely you might have struggled with, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter what your life is like. This can rapidly become a big barrier to our life with God. And it's one that Benjamin Franklin pointed out. Now, Benjamin Franklin, for those of you that this is really ironic, because Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian at all. Benjamin Franklin was a humanist. Makes you wonder how he ever got to be president. And Benjamin Franklin, you got to just relook at your history. And he was a humanist, but he really wanted to become more virtuous, right? And so he created his own system of 13 virtues. And these were his own. Of course, he didn't take these from Scripture, but his virtues were like silence. And his motto was, speak not but what may benefit others or yourself. Avoid trifling conversation. Or frugality, being frugal. He said, make no expense but to do good to others or yourself. That is, waste nothing. That was his virtue. Or industry, lose no time, be always employed in something useful, cut off all unnecessary actions, and on and on. He had this whole list of virtues. And so he made a book. He just got a blank book and set up each page was dedicated to one of these virtues. And he would line one of the columns with defects. And so he chose a different virtue to work on every week. And he would work his way through those 13 and then we'd do it again. So he was getting all of the virtues four times a year. He'd go through the cycle four times a year. And for several decades, Franklin carried this little book around with him. And he was really trying. What he was really aiming for was a clean 13-week cycle. If I can just do these 13 tasks without defect in a row for 13 weeks. But as he made progress, he found himself struggling with another defect, pride. And there may be no single passion that is more difficult to deal with, even for you and me, than pride, because you can disguise it, you can struggle with it, you can stifle it, you can shove it down. It is still alive, and it will still rear its ugly head when you least expect it. There was a certain kind of person in Jesus' day that he seems to be addressing with this concept of pride, and that sort of person did not go away. Could be sitting right here among us. Might be sitting in your seat, probably standing in your pulpit. It is a struggle that all of us can face. And it's not enough for this type of person to do good. You need to be seen doing good. To have a pride about doing good. Want to be known for doing good. Now, the desire for the religious respect or the reputation, it's going to immediately drag us into what Jesus calls the righteousness of the scribes or righteousness of the Pharisees, because that desire always focuses on the visible action. If I could just be seen to be doing this, not the source of the action or the desire of the action. Later on in Matthew, Jesus described it, their righteousness this way. Everything they do is to show off in front of others. This is from the Easy Read version. They even make a big show of wearing scripture verses and on their foreheads and arms, and they wear big tassels for everyone to see. They love the best seats at the banquets and the front seats in the meeting places. And when they are in the market, they like to have them people greet them as their teachers, right? I hate people like that, don't you? Those are the worst kinds of people. And, you know, always walking around like, you know, heads held high. Look at me. Look at how good I'm doing. But the truth is, a lot of us Christians struggle with some of these symptoms. And it's not just those people back then at that time or other people out there in other places. It's people like you and me. And so what Jesus says to us is this in Matthew chapter 6, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now that sounds like a pretty big warning, doesn't it? If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. It's like Jesus is posting a great big warning or danger sign that says, you know, beware hypocrisy. Don't do your acts of righteousness before other people publicly to be seen. Hypocrites are people who want to be seen doing one thing, but who are underneath don't really care about that thing, or who have other motives altogether. It would be like, you know, me standing up here and preaching just in order to be seen as a good preacher or a good husband or a good father, and I don't really care about being a preacher or care about being a husband or care about being a father. I just want to be seen to be doing those things, right? That's hypocrisy. Now, the word hypocrite that many of you have heard before, it comes from the theater where actors were pretending to be other characters. They would put on these masks. And that's okay in theater or in acting. But it's the exact opposite of what God wants for us in our Christian walk. Publicly religious people, they know that they ought to give, ought to care, but they also want other people to see them, to admire them, to rate them on social media. They want to do good, but only for the benefit, for the bonus of other people's congratulations. They're like some corporations, and we may have even talked about these type of corporations before. Every once in a while, you'll see an ad from one of the big product or corporation, and they'll talk about how they have given $200,000 to help these people in need, who are in this situation, people whose homes are flooded or whose homes were destroyed in wildfires or who are struggling with a drought, and they're given $200,000, but then they'll spend $2 million telling us about it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like they want to do good, but why don't you just do $2.2 million worth of good rather than having to tell me about you doing good? Remember, this is not just a list of commands, again, that we're dealing with. Some situations call for big public giving or public doing, public worship and public service. It's okay to do those things, even if you are in front of other people, but you don't do them because you are in front of other people. When we start doing those things because we are in front of other people so that they will see us, then we're in big, big trouble. Our intent, not the action itself, is what God is ultimately judging. Now, our intent is based on what we desire. What do we expect? What do we want to get out of the interactions? When we do good deeds to be seen by other people, it's because what we're looking for is something that comes from them, not something that comes from God. If we're doing that in order to be seen as good or to be have that good reputation, we're trying to get something from people. We're not trying to get anything out of God. And so when we do those actions, God just sort of like, oh, okay, you want stuff from people. I'm going to step out of the way. I'm not needed in this interaction. I'm not a part of this transaction. You want something from other people, I'm out. You can get what you want from other people. When you do what you do so that you can bring me into it, I'm all in. But there's no reward from God when God's not a part of the transaction. And there are a lot of traps, bringing this up to modern day, to present day, to Christians in the modern world. There are a lot of traps out there that we can fall into. Because if we're not careful, we might become people for whom just going to church, being a church attendance, that it can become like little more than a social event where you go to be seen. You know, being a part of a church family can become like that. It can even be a tool that we use to impress friends or neighbors or family or run for public office or just to make us look good in front of our church friends. Or just being at church, I mean, that marks me as a good person, right? Or sometimes we might be tempted to wear certain clothes, to dress a certain way. Maybe wearing more expensive clothes will make me look more godly. And if I show up to church in my super super religious black suit with my super religious red tie, or I don't know. We don't really struggle with that one as much maybe at Forest Mill. But so even here, we can have a temptation to look a certain way in order to appear a certain way. Or we might be doing our good deeds just in order to be seen as benevolent or maybe especially kind-hearted or loving. We might become involved in really worthwhile charities or missions, church missions, just so that we'll look like people who care. Now, is there anything wrong with doing these things? Anything bad about gathering with a church or dressing nice or working on good deeds? Is Jesus saying there's something wrong with doing these things? Absolutely not. In fact, I would argue it's probably a really good thing if we are the sort of people who desire to be gathered with the church family, if we're the sort of people who desire to do good works in the name of God in order to help our community and glorify our God, that's good things. That's something we ought to want to do. The question isn't, should we act in these ways, but rather, why should we act in these ways? Because if we're doing them for the wrong reasons, we eliminate God from that whole conversation. And we make the conversation all about us. Back when I was in high school, I was taking this science class. I don't even remember which one it was. Some sciencey sort of class. And one of the requirements was that I had to do a project for the science fair. That I had to participate in the science fair. And I was like a really good, great, responsible student. And so I procrastinated as long as possible. And then I sought to get by with the minimal amount of work necessary to get through said science fair. And so what I did, kids, pay attention here. I went to our library and checked out a super sciencey book. And I looked through this really cool sciencey looking book until I found a cool diagram that I thought I might could build that. And so I spent as little money and time as possible to build this. And by the way, this is the exact drawing I had. I found it this week on the internet. Pretty excited about this from 10 years ago. And this is the exact picture I had, and I thought, hey, I could build something that looks like that. And so I put it all together. It's pretty cool. This is, by the way, a Fluidyne engine. I don't know if you know about that, but it's pretty sciencey. And I put it all together, and as I was putting it all together, it became rapidly apparent that this thing was never going to actually work. So I was doing my best to find a loophole. And I just finally found that the right loophole was to label this as a non-working model of a Fluidyne engine. I'm not sure that I could have told you how it worked. Probably could not have even told you what it did. But it sure looks like it ought to work. I mean, I had sciencey parts in there, and I had clear tubing, and it looked really cool. It looks like it ought to work. It has the parts on it that are the right parts. It ought to work, but it doesn't actually work. And so by the grace of God, I got a C-. But that was grace alone. But this morning, church, one of the greatest dangers that we face is the threat of becoming non-working model Christians. People who look like Christians, who act like Christians, who have the parts to become actual working Christians, but are more interested in appearing like Christians than actually being Christians, more interested in looking the part than being the part. So this morning, we're just going to have one question as we go out, and that is, who are you working for? What audience are you playing to? If you knew ahead of time that your good deeds, all the good stuff you did, was not going to be lauded and lifted up, but instead going to be scoffed at or ridiculed, that your life of devotion was not going to bring you respect, but only going to bring you pain and suffering, would you still do it? Because that's exactly the way Jesus experienced life. And yet, he chose that experience anyway. Because Jesus was not looking to impress mankind. He was looking to change mankind. And that is the God that we follow. Less concerned with appearances than actual transformation. And this morning, if you want to be truly changed, you have come to the right God. He does not care what you look like, what you've been through, or where you've been. But rather, he cares on what he can do with you. And our God is not interested in non-working models. This morning, if you would like to become a child of God that actually is what God made you to be, if you need prayers for forgiveness, for strength, for encouragement, if you need the support of the church on this journey with Christ, or if you're ready to become a child of God, we want you to know that we are here for you this morning. And whatever we can do, we want to help you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?